For me to be with you after all these years and to share with you this morning very briefly what the Lord continues to do through the ministry of the Gideons International. It's a great pleasure to be here to represent the Gideons, which have such a wonderful worldwide ministry. By way of introduction for this little presentation this morning, I have a 2.5 minute video that we're going to see. And I'm sure you'll soon pick up the message that this little video brings to us this morning. Thanks, Terry.
I went to a motel on Christmas Eve. I intended to end my life. I lived most of my life out of control. I had used drugs and alcohol. I was put out of my home. My wife told me to leave. And as I'm sitting in that room, I noticed the book lying on top of the TV. And I looked down and I saw that it was a Gideon Bible. And I thought, who needs that? And I took my hand and I swiped it off on the floor. Well, it fell at my feet, but it fell open. What I read changed my life. It said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Today, I'm a pastor. My family's been restored. My wife has forgiven me. We work together in ministry. All of this because of one Bible in one room and one night. Thank God for the Gideons, and thank God for the Bibles that they put in the motel rooms.
I expect that many of you are reasonably familiar with the ministry of the Gideons International, and I see here this morning that some who have already been in the past involved in this ministry, and you have two members here, Tony and Nolly and Christy, who are current members of the Gideons. But from very small beginnings, you might be familiar with this story of how the Gideons commenced, where two men met in a hotel room over 100 years ago. They were Christian businessmen, and they were complete strangers. And these two men got to know each other, and the following year they were joined with another man, a Christian businessman, and they formed what has been known ever since as the Gideons International. From that very small beginning, friends, God has blessed this ministry in such a marvelous way that today the Gideons have a ministry in 200 countries around the world. They're distributing the Bible in 90 different languages. And last accounting year, the Gideons distributed in those 200 years 92 million copies of God's Word. Now that's something like 260,000 every day. Or if you like, it's 10,000 every hour. But it's interesting to know that the biggest demand for the Bibles through the Gideon ministry today is in the Asian countries. The Western world has been left behind. It's just phenomenal, the demand for Bibles in some of these Asian countries. Particularly, I read a report just recently in India. There are 200 Gideon groups working in India today, and they are distributing 1 million Bibles every month. huge demand in Thailand. 20 years ago, there were only 12 Gideon groups in Thailand. Today, there are 100. You probably are familiar with what's going on in the People's Republic of China, where it's described as being the fastest growing church in the world. And I've seen videos of the demand for Bibles in China. It's just phenomenal. There was one I saw just quite recently where Gideons from Canada went into this particular church that was packed. And after they'd spoken the gospel, they distributed 3,000 Bibles in 20 minutes. It's just phenomenal. But not only do we have the printed word, there is now also the Bible app. And this is absolutely phenomenal. It's for mobile devices, of course, and it's available in a multitude of languages. And it carries with it all the helps that are necessary. It tells you where to find help in times of trouble and so on, how to find salvation in Jesus Christ. But also in the New Zealand Gideons, there are 34 groups, something like 600 members around New Zealand. First established in 1956, now there are approximately 34 Gideon groups, approximately 600 are registered members. A few months ago, there was a container arrived in Auckland with just over 50,000 Bibles for distribution up and down our country and right here into Invercargill. And friends, in a few days, we're going to be going to the orientation day at SIT, and we'll be offering the little Gideon New Testament to students there. Last year, in just a few hours, we distributed 300 of these Bibles to the students of the SIT. Would you please pray for that? A few months ago, as I said, this container arrived and it's being distributed now. The majority of these Bibles are going to our secondary schools, to the Year 9 pupils. And this is where I want to share with you a very real concern. And friends, it's this. It's the growing number of schools that are closing their doors to the Gideons. In reality, they're saying, you can't come in here with your Bibles. Fortunately, this is not the case in the Gore region and the Southern region, because every high school opens their doors at this point in time for the Gideons. But could I ask you, would you please be in earnest prayer for this very serious situation? Because you know that New Zealand needs the Bible, doesn't it? Our young people need the Bible. And you know, the enemy of the Bible is putting everything in the way to prevent the Gideons going into these schools. And this is the increasing drive that we see in our country to get rid of the Bible. And you know what happens when you get rid of the Bible? We get rid of the God of the Bible, don't we? And when we get rid of the God of the Bible, we get rid of God's standard of morality and general behavior. And therefore, there becomes then no point of reference for moral and ethical standards. You see, when we separate God from morality, there is then no consequences for sin, is there? There is no accountability, there are no constraints, there are no absolutes, and everything just becomes a relative. But all the while, and you know that God's word says that it's righteousness that exalts the nation, and it's sin is a disgrace for any people. The psalmist said, your word, O Lord, is true from the beginning, and everyone of your righteous judgments will endure forever. And I can tell you this morning, and it's a great pleasure for me to be able to say that the Gideons down through the years have maintained the core values established by the founding fathers so many years ago. They have continued with this uncompromising belief that this old Bible that we have in our hands, that we distribute it, that we place as God-inspired. It's infallible, it's inerrant, and it's unchanging. It's the living word from the living God. And we have great confidence as we place these Bibles into the hands of young people and older people, as we place them in hotels and motels. You know what it says in Isaiah 55? It says, just as the snow and the rain come down and it waters the earth, so it produces seed for the sower and bread for the eater. And then God said, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. Friends, that's the very source of God's word. It flows from the very throne of God to you, to me, and to all who are wise enough to take it into their hearts. God said, it will not return unto me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I send it. Fellow believers, it's the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth that sustains and continues to bless this ministry that's involved in bringing countless souls to know salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to share with you a moment, one of the concerns in the New Zealand Gideons is the aging membership. And you'll say, I'm one of them too. That's quite true. But you see, we need younger folk to come in and join this ministry and to continue it. I'm sure, as I stand before you this morning, as I come to Rosedale Bible Chapel, that there must be someone here today that perhaps you could consider becoming a Gideon and sharing God's word wherever you go. Perhaps the Lord is calling you and you would like to have another outlet for Christian ministry. Well, I ask you, why not consider joining the Gideon ministry? I have on the table just out there, there are two brochures. One you've probably seen. It's a report that we published, Invercargill Gideons published 2 years ago, just a report of their activities in this area. But there's this other one. It's called Friends of Gideons International. And it's an invitation for whoever the Lord calls to join the Gideons in this ministry. And it says this: our single objective is to win people for Christ by personally sharing our faith and distributing God's word around the world. Make a difference in your community and across the world. I wonder, friends, would you be interested in taking one of these brochures and considering it? Talk to someone, talk to me, or talk to Nolene and Tony if you would like to know more. There's one thing about the Gideons over the years that they've been very big on personal testimonies. And I could tell you and share with you about time this morning, the testimonies of people who pick up a Bible in a motel room. Wonderful testimonies of those who pick up a Bible in a prison cell or in a school distribution. And I brought along with me this morning a man, his name is Joplin Emberson. And Joplin is going to share with you his testimony of how this little Bible changed his life. Joplin shared this testimony at the International Conference of the Gideons some 2 or 3 years ago before 2,000 or 3,000 delegates. It's gone around the world by DVD. And I've heard it many, many times, but I never fail to be encouraged by this man's testimony. And I trust that you will be also this morning. And thank you for being able to share with you for these few moments. And I trust I haven't encroached on the time of your worship time. If I have, I'm sorry. But the Lord bless you as you continue to worship and as you listen to this little testimony. Thank you, Tyria.
Well, When I was 16 years old, I was leaving the parking lot of my high school in Clearwater, Kansas, a small rural town of about 1,500 people. And as I was exiting, there stood a Gideon, and he handed me this exact copy of God's Word on my way out. As I drove away, I was probably that typical teenager that many of you have stood before and placed a Bible in hands at times and thought to yourself, he'll never read it and he'll never do anything with it. And the honest truth is, I had no intention whatsoever of ever reading it or ever doing anything with it. I was only 16, but my life had already begun to spiral out of control. I was deeply addicted to drugs, and drug use was a normal part of my activities. By the time I was a senior in high school, it's fair to say that as I stand before you and before the Lord, to the best of my recognition, I used drugs every day of high school, before school, during school, and after school. I remember overdosing my senior year at about 8:15 a.m. in the morning, waking up in the nurse's office with people hovering over me, thinking to myself, how did your life get so out of control? But even then, I didn't pick this up. Somehow I graduated and continued to do the very thing that was bringing me down. I was selling drugs in a larger capacity, using needles on a regular basis, drinking to blackout stage at night. And there came a time when I was 20 years old, laying in bed after a series of events that had just a horrible evening. And I remember laying there. It was early in the morning and I couldn't go to sleep. And I thought to myself, maybe you ought to just kill yourself. I had lost all respect for myself. I had concluded what most of the world had concluded long ago, and that was that this world would be better without people like me. As I sat there and for the first time honestly contemplated killing myself, I cannot tell you why, but the thought occurred to me, what if hell is a real place? I had never been a believer. I had not believed in God. I had not believed in heaven or hell, but I thought, what if hell exists? And I knew if it did, that's where I was going to go. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to prove that this isn't true. And 4 years after this was placed in my hands, I cannot tell you why I still had it. I cannot tell you how I kept it. But it was there. And I opened it up and I began to read, and I just started at the front because I didn't know where else to start. And I only got to page 16 in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, where it says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I read that and I thought, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life, because I fall into the category of everyone. And there are no stipulations on what you can ask. And though I had been in a lot of dangerous situations by this stage in my life, I had never prayed. And I knelt and prayed for the first time in my life. And I said, God, if you're even real, if you can even hear me, I'm giving you 30 days to show me yourself. Now, I knew the promise said that I had to seek and I had to knock. And so I tried to do everything that I thought you would do if you were seeking God. And I tried to quit doing bad things that supposedly sinners did. And I started going to church. I knew I couldn't claim I was seeking God and knocking if I wasn't going to church. The first 2 weeks, I didn't know where else to go but my hometown. And I went and it was so cold. I was a convicted criminal by the time, and people in my town knew who I was, but I'll never forget the fact that I was truly seeking God and how rejected I felt at that time. And I decided I'd go somewhere where nobody knew me. And the third week I went to a church and sat through service, and at the end of service there was an old lady in her 70s. Her name was Nadine Ledbetter, and she tapped me on the shoulder and she said, son, is this the first time you've ever been here? And I said, yes, ma'am, it is. And she said, would you come back? She didn't say anything about my clothing. I had on what was indicative of gangster clothing, the baggiest jeans I could find with letters running down the side and a football shirt on and my hair down to my shoulders and a tongue ring in and an earring in. She said nothing about any of it. She just said, "Would you come back?" And I remember leaving and thinking, that was odd. Did she not see how I look? But the first person to ever invite me to church was this 72-year-old lady. And I thought, I want to go back. So I went back the next week and I saw a man preach with passion I had never seen before. I could, for the first time in my life, I could tell without any question, this man believes this. You cannot preach with that passion if you don't believe it. And I wasn't ready to agree with him yet, but I was just moved by the fact I knew he believed this. And he walked by me when he was preaching, and the best way that I can describe what I saw in the twinkling of his eye was compassion and love and boldness and fire. And when I saw it, something moved in my soul, and I said to myself, I don't know what that man has, but I want it. And at that moment, it's the first time in my life I heard God speak. I had forgot that it had been nearly 4 weeks earlier when I had told God that I wanted him to show himself to me in 30 days. I had forgot really why I was there. But at that moment when I said, whatever that man has, I want it, I heard God speak. And here's what he said. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. To him who seeks, he will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And I knelt and I prayed, and I didn't know the sinner's prayer. All I could say was, I'm sorry. And I said it over and over and over again. And I got up from that altar, a changed, born-again man who has never looked back, delivered immediately of drugs and alcohol. And my life was changed in a moment. Since that time, God's called us into the full-time ministry. I pastor a church. We've seen many, many people who could stand and testify to the same life-changing power of Christ that I've experienced in our church. And this evening, I want to leave you with this. My life is a product of someone putting the written word of God in my hand, an older lady showing me the love of God and inviting me back to church, and a preacher preaching the word of God in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I want to remind you that you're in an eternal business. The ministry of the Gideons is a ministry about souls. Not just changing the world as we know it and not just reaching the world for today, but changing time and eternity. I want to encourage you to never forget the power of God's word to work all by itself. In a moment in my life when I had no Christian parents and no Christian uncles or aunts and no Christian cousins and no Christian grandparents and no Christian influence whatsoever in my life and nowhere to turn, thank God that some Gideon stood on a street and put this in my hand as I was driving by at 16 years old. The power of God's word and the power of God's love is enough to get the job done. It bridges all gaps in all ages. And tonight, on behalf of the multitudes who will never have the opportunity to stand before you as I have and tell you their stories, I say thank you. God bless you. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. You are making a difference, and it is people like me that make it what you're doing fruitful, beneficial, and this ministry must go on. Thank you, and God bless.